magnify the name of the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place tonight, God. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we've been given tonight, God. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So awesome to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. Praise God. God is awesome. Amen. If we could, before we're seated, turn our attention to Luke chapter 6, verses 6. Say amen when you're there. We're on the screen, so we're good to go. And now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath that they might find an accusation against him. Now, why is it that whenever God is about to do something, there's always got to be a critic out there? Whenever God is about to do something, or whenever somebody in the church with a need comes forward, there's always somebody out there, a person or a critic, waiting to condemn or criticize the person with the need. Tell you you're not worthy enough to receive your need. And these critics were out in this certain circumstance. But in verse 8 it says that, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful that on the Sabbath day to save life or to destroy it, to do good or to do evil? And looking around about them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And his hand was restored whole as the other." Amen. When Jesus spoke, there was restoration power in his very voice. And when the man responded to the voice of God, his faith grabbed onto the power that went forth from his mouth. And together, a miracle was performed, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Amen. And for a few moments this evening, I want to preach on a simple subject: power in the voice, restoration in the response. Power in the voice, restoration in the response. And I believe that I'm preaching to somebody tonight, if I'm not preaching to a group of people. Amen. That we have stuff going on in our lives, that our lives need restoration. Amen. That we need restoration in our spirit, that we need restoration in our physical bodies, restoration emotionally. Amen. And there's people today who need the miracle of restoration. Amen. And I hope that you would just pray with me right now before I speak this word, the word of the Lord tonight, that God would have his way, that the Spirit of the Lord would move in this place. God, Lord, we ask you, God, that you would just continue to have your way in this place, God. Lord, that we would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord Jesus, God, to receive what you have for us, God, to lay everything aside, Lord Jesus, that may be hindering us, God, from receiving that restoration, God. I pray in your name, Lord, and with a shout of triumph, let's lift up the name of the Lord one more time this evening. Lord, we magnify your name in this place, God. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise, Lord Jesus, for you are worthy and greatly to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going somewhere tonight. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to get there, but we're going to get there with the help of the Lord. Amen. And I believe that God wants us to understand that he can restore us. Amen. And let me just quickly explain what restore means, or restoration, what it means to be restored. See, restored simply means to bring back to life. That is one of the definitions, and there's always more than one definition. Now, one of the definitions is to bring back to life, however. Now, I'm not looking at anybody in this building tonight who is dead right now physically, but I may be looking at people who could possibly have death in their life emotionally. And we all experience death in our lives. Maybe it's in your spirit or your anointing, maybe in your ministry, maybe in your happiness, your joy, your job, your children, whatever it may be. We all experience some kind of death throughout our lives. We experience times when things die, and we experience that kind of death throughout our life. Amen. But God says, do not worry. I am a God. I am God who all I have to do is speak, because what happens when God speaks is there is creative power in the voice of God. And I don't know exactly what that means. I can't fully comprehend and understand what creative power means, because I cannot create anything. Amen. Glenn Rossing, who is on vacation today, is a wonderful painter, if you all have seen his painting. And he can paint these beautiful masterpieces, but he has to use materials to do so, materials that have already been created. He has to get a canvas, and he has to get paintbrushes and paint in order to put together this masterpiece. But you and I, we cannot create anything. We don't have that creative power to do that. Or you can invent something, but you can't create something out of nothing. Only God has the power to do that. Amen. And he doesn't have to go to a drafting board and sit down and pull out the drafting paper and write a blueprint for what he's going to do and all this, and hire contractors to help him carry it out like he's some kind of architect. Amen. All that God has to do is stand up and say, let there be light. God just has to stand up and say, stretch forth your hand. God just has to stand up and say, do you need restoration in your life? Do you need me to create something for you? Do you need me to create for you a job? Do you need me to create for you a way when there seems to be no other way? I can create a way because I am the way. Amen. And that excites me, because God is not a way. God is the way. Amen. In our King James Version of the Bible, it says God is a spirit. That is a little bit of a misinterpretation there, because God is not a spirit. In the Greek, there's no indefinite article there, which is the letter A. So you see, I am a man, but I am not the man. And I know that might mess with my wife's theology a little bit, because here this whole time she has thought that I was the man, but in fact, I am just a man. Love you, honey. But God is not a spirit, because if God was a spirit, that would mean that he is one of the many spirits. But we know that he is not one of the many spirits. He is the spirit. And because he is the spirit, that means that all spirits are of him. Amen. He is the truth. He is not a truth. Amen. He is not a life. He is the life. Amen. And he is not a way where there's multiple other ways that you can go and you can take and get there, but he is the way, the one and only way. Amen. And God says, where there seems to be no way in your life, all that I have to do is open up my mouth and speak, and because I spoke it, it will be which I have spoken, and it will be spoken into existence, amen? And he says, I am the source of your direction. I am the source of your deliverance. I am the source of your life. I am the source of your power. And when God speaks, God cannot lie, amen? It is impossible for God to lie. He is not a man that he should lie, and all of his promises are yea and amen. And I truly believe that when God speaks, it is that immediately, as soon as he speaks it. Even if God says that the sky is green and we look up and we see the sky is blue and we're like, no, God, the sky is blue. I believe that as soon as God speaks it, as soon as God says the sky is green, you look up and the sky is green, because there's creative power in the voice of God that as soon as it proceeds forth from his mouth, it becomes exactly what he said it is. Amen? And you can look at your situation and you can look at a pitiful mess or a pile of broken pieces, and you can say that, and God can look at you and say that you are whole. And you look at yourself and you say, no, God, I'm not whole. I'm pieces. I'm broken. I'm a mess. But God looks and he says, no, I said you were whole. And as soon as it comes out of God's mouth and he speaks to your situation and he speaks to your circumstances and he speaks to that pile of broken pieces and that mess that seems pitiful, the pieces start forming together and something miraculous begins to take place because there's creative power in the voice of God and there's restoration power in the voice of God. Amen. Why don't we worship the Lord? Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you, God, for that restoration power. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is creative power in the voice of God that as soon as he speaks, the molecules of the universe have to respond. There's an immediate response to the voice of God when he speaks it. It already is that which he has spoken. Amen. You see, anything that God created out of his voice by divine law must respond. Immediately, without question, when God tells the wind to blow north to south, the wind must blow north and south. The wind can't rise up and say, oh, no, God, I don't want to blow north to south. I want to blow south to north or, you know, something. It can't do that. It can't debate with God. Amen. And when God tells the wind to blow upon the waters and the waves rise and they begin to crash to and fro and upon the banks, the waves can't just rise up and say, no, God, we're not going to do that. Amen. Because there is creative power in the voice of God. Amen. When he speaks to his creation doesn't just stand there and say, who do you think you are? When he stood at the bow of the boat and he said, peace be still, the waves and the wind and the storm didn't just look at him and say, who do you think you are? They said, my God, that is the voice of the one who created me, who put life in me. I must respond. Amen. Amen. But you and me, you see, he did not simply speak into existence. He made us. He formed us with his very hands, and he breathed the breath of life into our being. And because of that, we have a little bit different set of rules because God gave us something that he didn't give to any other part of his creation. Amen. It's called free will. It's a little bit of a loophole. And sometimes I don't like that loophole that I have. It's a malfunction in my brain sometimes. It makes me do stupid things. Free will. It makes me not respond to God the way that I know I should respond to God. It makes me not do the things that I know God wants me to do. And because when God speaks to me, I can debate that and say, well, God, that doesn't really go along with what I want to do. That's not really meshing well with my plans. And when God tells me to go here and God tells me to go there and tells me to witness to that person on the street, I can say, well, God, I just don't know about that. I don't know if they're going to receive it. And so I don't always minister the way that I'm supposed to. Or when God tells me to study and pray and read, and I can say, well, I don't really have time for that. Or when God says to fast I can say, hold on, God, wait a minute, I don't really want to fast today. When God tells me to go to church, I can say I have other things to do. When God says, give me just a little bit of your time, I can say, God, I don't have time. And God says, but wait a minute, I'm the one that created time. I have all of eternity for you. Why wouldn't you just come to church for an hour and a half or 2 hours? Why wouldn't you just pray for 30 minutes? You say you don't have time, but I am the very one that created time. All that I have to do is speak, and there could be more time. All I have to do is speak to your schedule, and your schedule will open up, and you'll have more time. And we don't have to respond to God. And just to be transparent, I don't always respond to God the way that I know that I should respond to God. And I don't respond to the Holy Ghost that's inside of me. That voice, that still small voice, when God speaks to me, I don't always respond the way that I know that I should respond. And I think that if we're honest with ourselves tonight, I'm not the only one that's that way. Amen. But I don't see the results that I ought to see because I don't listen to God the way that I always ought to listen to God. But when God speaks to nature, and when he speaks to the earth, and when he speaks to creation, and the things that he has established with his own voice, it responds immediately. Immediately. And I wonder tonight, what would happen if we would respond to the voice of God the way that his own creation responds? I wonder what would happen tonight if we would respond to the voice of God the way the universe responds. That you see, when God opened up his mouth and he spoke and he said, "Let there be light," boom, there was light. That all God had to do was speak four words, just four words, and we got the universe. That's amazing. That's amazing. Preachers can get up and preach hour-long messages and tug on people's hearts and say this and say that and still get no response. And all God has to do, four words, he has the universe. And what happened after that and what is still happening today, scientists have studied and searched and found that the universe today is still expanding and it is still growing and it has not stopped. In fact, they set up a device that they could use to try to track it. It's called the Hubble Telescope. Anybody ever heard of it? And so because scientists have a lot of time on their hands, they can get behind the Hubble Telescope and they try to figure out where the universe stops. They want to see how big it is. They want to see and know where the limits are and where it has stopped growing. When they start searching in that Hubble telescope, they find that the universe has never stopped expanding. And after all of this, their conclusion was, they said that the universe is still growing and expanding so fast, pushing out so fast that we will never be able to catch up to it. We will never have the technology ever in our lifetime to catch up to it, not only in our physical body, but with our eyes, with our own eyes. We can't catch up to the universe with our eyes. That's amazing. That's amazing. We can't travel there, obviously, but if we would have to travel faster than the speed of light, and the speed of light travels faster than 186,000 miles, not per hour, per second. That's how fast it is. And if you were to travel at the speed of light for 2 seconds, you would reach the moon. And if you were to travel at 186,000 miles per second for 8 minutes, you would finally reach the sun. That's amazing. And if you were to travel at 186,000 miles per second, after 4 months, you would finally reach the outer parts of our solar system. And if you were to travel this fast for 5 years at 186,000 miles per second, for 5 years, you would finally come to the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, the closest star to the planet Earth. And if you were to travel this fast at 186,000 miles per second for 100,000 years, you would finally be able to leave our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that phenomenal? I'm going to go even further with it. If you were to travel at 186,000 miles per second for 1.5 million years, you would finally, at a very nice mature age, reach the next galaxy. Out of our galaxy and into the next galaxy. And the craziest part about that is there's such a vast amount of galaxies outside of our very own that it would take somebody 1.5 million years traveling at 186,000 miles per second to get outside of just one galaxy. Just one galaxy. And all of that came to be when God decided to speak four words. Just four words. Amen. Scientists are so smart and they keep searching because they think that there has got to be an end to all of this. There's got to be an end. Because they don't know that God is omnipotent. Amen. And what is omnipotent? It means infinite power. Infinite power. What is infinite? And we can break it down real quick, but what does infinite mean? It means that there is no measurement. There is no measurement. We can look at ourselves and we can look at our human bodies and what we're capable of. And if I was infinite, I could go out to the church parking lot and I could get underneath CGC4 minibus and I could pick that thing up and I could walk all around the parking lot with it. But I can't do that. I don't even think I could do more than 50 push-ups. Because there's physical limitations to me personally, and to what I can accomplish. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, and they marched, and they got to the waters, they couldn't go any further, not on their own, because they had reached the physical limitations of where they could go, and they needed God's intervention. It was only when God said, "Raise your staff," that God parted the waters, and they were able to walk across safely on dry ground. Amen. Because there's no limitation to what God can do. Amen. There's no measurement to God. There's no measurement to how great your deliverance can be. And there's no measurement to how great your restoration can be. Because the source of God's identity is omnipotent. And that means that the source of who he is contains an infinite amount of power. But because we are finite, we cannot understand fully the infinite. We all remember growing up on the schoolyard and your friends would be all hanging out with each other and you'd be playing kickball or tag and you'd get in a little scuffle with your friend and you'd puff up your chest and be like, "Well, I'm going to beat you up." And your buddy would say, "Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to go get my daddy. My daddy's going to beat you up." And then you go back, "Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to go get my daddy. My daddy will whoop your daddy. No problem." And then they would smart mouth back, "Oh, yeah? Well, my dad's stronger than your dad times 20. You're like, "Quit playing. I'm sick of you." "Oh, yeah? Well, my dad's stronger than your dad times infinity." Checkmate. Game over. Drop the mic. You're done. And there would always be that one person he didn't really catch on as quickly as everybody else, because he would pipe back and say, "Oh, yeah? Well, my daddy's stronger than your daddy, infinity times two. You're not worth it. Quit playing. Walk away." Because you cannot add to infinity. You can't add to it. In order to add to something, you have got to find the end to it. Amen. And you cannot add to infinity. Amen. And the Bible says that God, he is the Alpha and the Omega. God is so infinite and he's so omnipotent that he's so omnipresent. He can be both the beginning and the ending all at the same time. That's how he always was, and at the end of time, he always will be, all at the same time. And we cannot fully comprehend and understand the vastness and the infinites of God because we are finite. Amen. But you cannot add to God. When we come to church and we sing songs about lifting him up and exalting God and glorifying God and blessing his name, do you really think in that instance and in that moment you add to God? You can't. And I know some of you are probably thinking, what are you trying to say, Carl? What are you trying to preach to us here? I always thought, but the Bible says that God is, it always takes a step further and says that God is even ever increasing. Amen. So just when you think you got God all figured out and what he can do all figured out, he just got better and he just got bigger and he just got more able. Amen. But what happens when the church gets together and we exalt the name of the Lord and we magnify the name of the Lord and glorify his name, and when God's spirit begins to move and the atmosphere begins to change and he begins to do things in our life, what happens is our perception of who he is and what he can do increases. Our perception increases. We can't physically or personally increase God, but we can increase our perception of God. Amen. And the larger that God becomes in my perception, the smaller the devil becomes in my perception. Somebody said amen. Amen. And the smaller my problems become in my perception. And the larger that God becomes in my perception, the more I realize how small and weak I am and how much I need him every single day of my life. Amen. And because I have the Holy Ghost, the closer I get to him, the larger he becomes in my perception of who he is, and the more I realize the power that's inside of me, because God manifests himself in flesh and he died upon a cross. Amen. And when he rose from the grave as a glorified body, and he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem, like in Acts 2, when they were all sitting there and the disciples were sitting there and they were praying and fasting with no end in sight, they did not know how long they were going to be there. And they made up in their minds that they were going to stay there and exalt and lift up and magnify and praise the name of the Lord until finally on the 10th day, the floodgates opened. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there came a sound from heaven. There came a sound from heaven. We need to realize something, church. There is never a sound from God where God doesn't move. Amen. In Genesis 1:1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep, and then he spoke, let there be light. And the universe was formed. When he spoke, let there be light, there was an infinite result. There was an infinite response. Amen. And the universe was formed, and it is still expanding to this day. And I just wonder what would happen if God's people would respond to the voice of the Lord the way that universe responds. Amen. When we hear the voice of God, because when universe heard the voice of God, it was formed, and it began to expand and grow, and it's never stopped. It's never debated. It's always continued doing what he said for it to do. And some of us have heard those four words before. When God has moved upon us, moved upon our hearts, and perhaps he said to you, go preach the word. Perhaps he's beckoned you in a service. Perhaps you haven't received the Holy Ghost, and he said, come receive my Spirit. Perhaps he's said to you, repent and be baptized. Go be a missionary. What has God spoken to you in your life? Witness to the lost. Every day when we wake up, take up thy cross. When you get into an altercation with somebody, with your brother or your sister in church, forgive them their trespasses. It's no doubt that we've all heard the voice of God in our lives, felt him move and heard his voice, amen. Felt him hear us, felt his move and heard him calling our voice. And perhaps sometimes we responded. Perhaps there was an action at first and there was initial response, but it wasn't infinite. It wasn't ever increasing. Somewhere along the line, we got distracted. And somewhere along the line, we responded to perhaps a different voice. Maybe it wasn't all that, it was something different. Maybe something happened to you in your life, or something caused you pain or strife, or maybe something in your life brought you a bit of brokenness, or maybe you reached a place in your life where you felt that it was hopeless, or you didn't feel that you felt God like you should anymore. Whatever it may have been, you may be sitting in this place tonight and thinking to yourself, but preacher, you're talking about power and you're talking about the voice of God and you're talking about life and response, but all I feel in my current situation is death. I haven't been praying like I should be. I haven't been worshiping like I want to in church, and deep down inside I feel restricted. I haven't been a witness to my peers like I should, with my friends or on the job site. Well, let me tell you, friend, you're not alone. You are not alone. It's just like Pastor Phil preached. We all experience that dead place. And there's death among us right now in this room. We all are alive and we all have breath in our lungs, but there is death among us. There is death among us in our homes, and there is death in our faith. There is death in our anointing, but God says, I'm the one who speaks life. I am the one who speaks with that creative power in my voice, because to be restored means to be brought back to life. Amen. Another definition is to be repaired or returned, something that is broken back to its original condition or form. And the last definition that they give is something has been stolen, is then returned back to its original owner. And there have been many situations where you have been offended, or perhaps you've been hurt, or you've gone through something that has broken your faith, or gone through something that has broken your spirit, gone through something that broken the peace in your home. But God says, listen, all I have to do is speak a word. And he stood in a room in a sanctuary like the one we're in today, and he went there to preach. And in that room, that was this congregation like the one that we have today before us, amen, there was a room full of critics, a room full of Pharisees and Sadducees, and people who were looking to accuse Jesus so that they could condemn him and take him to trial and crucify him. Amen. But Jesus knew their thoughts before he ever stepped into that building. Amen. He said, let me ask you guys a question. Amen. Is the Sabbath day, on the Sabbath day, is it all right for me to do good, or must I do evil? Amen. He says, you know what? Forget about you critics. Forget about all you naysayers. There is somebody in the midst that is desperate. There is somebody that needs a miracle. My people, there is somebody, there is a man here who is deformed. He has a deformity in this room right now. He has a withered hand, amen. And it's not just any hand. This man's hand was his right hand. I'm holding the mic with my right hand. It was his right hand, amen. The right hand symbolized power. It symbolized strength. The right hand symbolized dominance. It was the hand that this man plowed the field with. It was the hand that he provided for his family with. It was the hand that he took care of his children and his wife with. And that was deformed. His identity, who he was crippled and deformed and withered and broken. And we do not know the reason, amen, why it became deformed. Some say that leprosy had inflicted him, but now he has this infirmity in his body, and it's become his identity. His infirmity has now become his identity. He was the man with the withered hand. He doesn't show his name in the Bible anywhere. It just says he was the man with the withered hand. And there's somebody in this room right now that has become your identity. Amen. If you were to ask somebody, they would say yes, that there is a woman who could be addicted to drugs, or yes, that is the man who is addicted to pornography there, or yes, that is the man who is abusive, or that is the person who lives in fear, or yes, that's the woman who struggles with depression or low self-esteem, or that's the man, or that's the woman, amen, and we all have names, and we all have reputations, and we all have people who want to criticize us. That's the liar. That's the fornicator. That's the adulterer. That's this and that's that. But Jesus looks beyond that, and he finds your need. He looks beyond what people have identified you as. He looks beyond the labels, and he looks beyond the deformity, and he looks beyond the hurt and the pain, and he finds your need, the very depth and the very root of what caused it all to begin with. He finds your faith in the middle of a congregation that was full of critics. He found the need, and he spoke. And I truly believe that today, on this day, no ordinary voice would have caused that particular man to stand up. I guarantee you that this man was insecure from his infirmity and his deformity. Amen. I guarantee you that he was hiding, and he got here where he was sitting there and hoping, hey, nobody sees me. I hope that nobody knows that I have this problem. I hope that I can just come here and nobody can see what's going on with me. I hope that I can sneak into church, and I hope I can hide what's going on underneath and nobody will notice, and maybe I can hear a good sermon today at church and I can slip out the side and leave and just get a few good goosebumps or maybe some good tears in or whatever and just sneak out but never have anything resolved in my life. Just come in and leave out completely unchanged. I hope that nobody notices the bags under my eyes because I haven't been sleeping at night, because I've been wrecked with the things that have been running through my mind. And I'm here to tell you amen, he couldn't just slip through the back, amen, because when Jesus walked in, He saw his need. He knew his need before the man ever stood up. Because Jesus, God, is the Alpha and the Omega. And you cannot hide anything from the one who created you. You can't hide anything from the one who knows the very hairs that are on your head. Amen. And Jesus comes walking by and he says, listen, my daughter. And he says, listen, my son. And we cannot come and hide anything before God because, listen, he saw it before we ever stepped through the doors into this place. He knew our need before we ever came here. Amen. And he says that I saw it before you ever walked through the door. I saw it when I stretched out my hands and I was nailed to a cross on Calvary. I saw it when they pierced my side, and I saw it when they pushed the crown of thorns in my head, and when I bled out and I died for you. I knew your need, and I saw your pain, and I felt it. And you cannot hide that from me. Amen. Don't you sit here and say there's nothing going on, child of mine. Don't say there's nothing going on in your house. I've seen in your house and I know what's going on. Don't say there's nothing going on inside your heart because I know your heart. Don't say there's nothing trouble in your mind because I formed your mind and I know your thoughts. Amen. I have not come to entertain critics this evening, but to find the man with the need. And he says, you know what? Forget about the sermon I even prepared. Forget about the thing that I came here with originally. There's a man with a need. There's a man with a desperate need. And he called him and said, come forward. Amen. And at this point, the man had two things that he had going on. He had opportunity and he had an obligation. He could sit there and say, well, you know, if I stand, I'll be persecuted. You know, if I stand up, they're going to look at me and I'll be embarrassed. And if I stand up, they'll know what's going on. They'll look at me and think who he possibly he's not who he said he is, or possibly he doesn't have it all going on the way he makes it appear when we see him. Amen. And so Jesus is calling him out. Amen. And so he stood up responding to the man of God, the God manifest in the flesh. Amen. He could have said in his mind, I've been successful at hiding this infirmity, and now people will realize that I'm weak and I'm not the man I said I am. Amen. But we all have fallen short of the glory of God, and we all have sinned, and he comes forward. Amen. And now the test is really on, because Jesus speaks directly to the man and to what's going on. And he speaks four words. Stretch forth thy hand. Stretch forth thy hand. He said, you know what? That very same thing you've been hiding that nobody else in this place knows about, I already know about it. He didn't ask who's the man with the need. He called the man out and he said, stretch forth thy hand. I already know what's going on. You can't hide that thing from me. You can't put that cloak over that withered hand and hide it from me. I was the one who spoke you into existence. I was the one who created you. The very voice that spoke life in the very beginning was the very voice that told the universe, let there be light, was the very voice that was telling this man to stretch forth his hand. And it demanded a response. And he said, reach out to me and I will restore what is broken. Reach out to me and I will restore what has died. And something in that man, he had enough faith that when Jesus spoke to him, he did step up and he stretched forth his hand. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says that when he stretched forth his hand, that Jesus walked up to him and said, oh God, if you could just find it in your heart to heal this man. Oh Jesus, could you possibly? Oh, no. The Bible says that as soon as the man stretched forth his hand, as soon as that creative voice, the power in the voice of God, spoke to his creation and said, stretch forth your hand, bring forth that which is broken, it was restored whole as the other. Just like that. it was restored. There is power in the voice, and there is restoration in the response. Amen. And if we would stand to our feet in this place tonight, and if we would just begin to lift up our hands and begin to call upon the Lord and begin to ask God, search me, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would move upon me, God. Lord, look upon my heart, God. Look upon my situation, Lord Jesus, God. I pray, Lord, that you would move in my life, Lord God. Lord, that your will would be done, Lord God, in my life, Lord. I know that there's broken pieces, God, but you are the one who can speak to my situation and say, let it be whole, and the pieces will begin to form back together. Lord, I know that there is death all around me. I know that there is pain in my heart, but you are the one that created me. You formed me with your hands, and you breathed the breath of life into me, and you can touch my situation, and you can bring me joy, and you can bring me peace back in my life. You can restore my home. You can restore my broken relationship. You can heal my addiction. You can heal my low self-esteem. You can take my depression from me, oh God. I know that, God, and because of that, I will respond to the voice that is in this place tonight. God, you're speaking to me in my situation, and I will respond. Lord, I need a miracle. God, I need that restoration. Lord, I plead your blood over my situation, oh God. I thank you for your presence in this place. Hallelujah. If we could have the altar team come forward. There's people that are coming up to pray. Don't be shy. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what people that are looking at you when you step forward. Don't get it twisted. Nobody cares if you're going through something that they're going to look at you and judge you and say, oh, that person, they're going up to the altar. They're really weeping and crying and praying. They really got something going on. We all got stuff going on. We all have junk in our lives. We all need a Savior in our lives. And if we could get to the point where it doesn't bother us that there's people looking at us, that if we get to the point where we say, it doesn't matter what the crowd's doing or what the crowd's saying, I need my deliverance. I need that restoration. I need it for me. I need to get back to the place where I need to be in Jesus. I need to get back to the closeness and that intimate relationship that I need to have with my Creator. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, just find a spot to pray. If you need a healing in your body, if you come forward and step to the right side of the altar, there's people that will pray for you that healing in your body. If there's a brokenness in your life, or there's brokenness in your heart or in your home, or there's pain or there's a situation that you're going through, you just can't shake it. I'm broken. I'm hurting. Come up here to the left, and there's people that will pray with you. Amen. There's people that will lay hands on you and pray for you in your situation. Never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, been baptized in the name of Jesus, come up here to the front in the center. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.